Chapter 4. Great Disappointment. Eleanor turned white on hearing such news. "We have been engaged these 4 years," Lucy added in the same awful whisper. "I can see your surprise, but indeed no one apart from Anne has known anything about it till today. I may depend on your secrecy, Miss Dashwood, might I not?"
"Of course," replied Eleanor, hardly knowing what she was saying. "But how did you meet?"
"Oh, Edward was my uncle Mr. Pratt's student for some years. I am sure you know. It was there that we got to know each other. But now we see each other so rarely," Lucy added with tears in her eyes. "Edward says it breaks his heart." Lucy put her handkerchief to her eyes. "But when he visited us just before he came to see you, 2 weeks ago, I gave him a ring of my hair," Lucy said with a proud smile, "and he said it made him a lot happier." Eleanor turned even whiter at hearing this information. So it was Lucy's hair on Edward's finger and not her own. Back at home, Eleanor went through her conversation with Lucy once again. She was shocked and could hardly believe the information. She decided to talk to Lucy again and try to find out how much truth there was in the news. She had the opportunity the next day at an afternoon tea at Lady Middleton's. Marianne was playing the piano so passionately that Lucy and Eleanor, sitting behind it, could talk safely without being overheard.
"Thank you for breaking the ice," said Lucy, as Eleanor seated herself next to her.
"You cannot imagine how much it means to me to be able to talk to you about my secret."
"Yes, I understand your situation must be difficult," said Eleanor as calmly as she could.
"Everything depends on Edward's mother," said Lucy, "and I suspect Mrs. Ferris will not be happy to find out her eldest son engaged to a penniless girl like myself. That is why we are keeping it a secret."
"But how long can you go on like this?" asked Eleanor.
"I do not know," Lucy answered with a sigh, "but I think it would be madness to marry now. What if Mrs. Ferris disinherits Edward? We would be poor forever."
Eleanor blushed at these words.
"So that would be Edward's future wife's main aim in life, to be rich. She needed Edward to be rich."
"Edward is going to London in February, so he says in his letter," Lucy continued. "Are you going to London this winter, Miss Dashwood?"
"Certainly not," said Eleanor, who at that moment would avoid meeting Edward at all costs. But Eleanor was wrong in her answer to Lucy, even though she did not know it at the time. Mrs. Jennings had a house in London, and to this house she decided to go after Christmas. And she invited the two elder Miss Dashwoods to go with her. Marianne was delighted. Willoughby was in London. And even though she thought Mrs. Jennings was the most vulgar woman in the world, she felt she could put up with her easily if that was all that was needed to be closer to Willoughby. Mrs. Dashwood and Eleanor, seeing how much Marianne had set her heart on going, could not refuse her. Eleanor decided to go with her, and as she counted on their visit to be over long before Edward's arrival in London, she felt it was a safe thing to do. They travelled for 3 days, and when they finally found themselves in Miss Jennings' comfortable house in Berkeley Street, they dreamt of nothing but burning fire and an early night. The next day, Marianne woke up full of expectations of seeing or hearing from Willoughby, but Willoughby did not come. They only had a visit from Colonel Brandon.
"Oh, Colonel, I'm so glad to see you," exclaimed Mrs. Jennings. "So, how did your mysterious business go? Come, come, let us have no secrets among friends."
Colonel Brandon was very polite as usual, and answered every question of Mrs. Jennings without actually giving her any information on any subject. During the first week in London, the ladies were very busy visiting all of Mrs. Jennings' friends, and then hosting them in return at Berkeley Street. But to Marianne's great disappointment, they saw or heard nothing of Willoughby. Marianne wrote letters and notes to him, but none of them were answered. Instead, to her horror, Colonel Brandon visited them every day,
and to make matters worse, by the end of the week, the Middletons came to stay at their house in Conduit Street, and the Miss Dashwoods were even busier. One evening, they absolutely had to accompany Lady Middleton at a very important ball. As soon as they entered the ballroom, Eleanor noticed Willoughby talking passionately to a young lady. He caught Eleanor's eye, but only nodded his head with cold politeness, without interrupting his conversation. Eleanor was shocked. When Marianne noticed him the next minute, and he still did not come, she exclaimed,
"Good God! Willoughby! What is the meaning of this? Won't you come and shake hands with me?"
Then he could not avoid them any more. He left his partner and came up to the two ladies.
"Have you got my letters?" asked Marianne, giving him her hand.
"Yes," he said coldly, barely touching her fingers. "I have had this pleasure." Then he turned around and went back to his partner. Soon afterwards, they both left the room.
"Eleanor," exclaimed Marianne, "take me home. I cannot stay a minute longer."
Eleanor explained to Lady Middleton as best she could that her sister was feeling ill and that it was absolutely necessary to transport her back to Berkeley Street. Back at the house, Marianne spent another sleepless night. At dawn, Eleanor woke up to see her sister sitting by the window and writing a letter to Willoughby. The letter was sent, and within 2 hours, soon after breakfast, Marianne got the reply. It read as follows: "My dear Madame, I am very unhappy to hear that you felt offended by my behaviour yesterday, though I honestly do not know what impoliteness I committed. In any case, please accept my apologies. I also learn that while in Devonshire I gave rise to some expectations which you will understand to be a mistake on your part. I am engaged and hope to be married within a short time. I gladly return all your letters, therefore, and send my sincere regards to Mrs. and Miss Dashwood. Yours sincerely, John Willoughby." Reading these lines, tears rose in Eleanor's eyes. She could hardly believe such cruelty. After she had reread the letter 10 times, she said,
"Well, at least we know his character now, Marianne. Imagine your disappointment if the engagement had lasted years."
"Engagement?" cried Marianne. "There has been no engagement. We were in love."